Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Neurological Research here at Car Talk Plaza.
There's no end to the research that gets done in this world. This, now get this, Reuters, dementia is an illness that causes the loss of memory and reasoning. However, Italian researchers, get ready for this, in the journal Neurology, the Italian investigators report two cases where patients with frontotemporal dementia suddenly began to enjoy pop music.
Really?
Yeah. In the first case, a 68-year-old lawyer developed frontotemporal dementia, losing, guess what you lose now? You lose abstract thinking.
Okay.
Judgment.
Uh-huh.
It's beginning to sound familiar, isn't it? And language skills. You know what I'm talking about here? But after this diagnosis, he started to develop an obsession for Italian pop music. And then they go on and they list other situations where these people have, they have this problem where they lose abstract thinking, they lose judgment, they lose language skills, but they gain some new appreciation for pop music. In one case, it was an old grandmother who became buddies with her granddaughter, who was 11. Listen to all that crappy music. And the grandmother said, I love it. It's great. This reminded me of, remember foreign accent syndrome?
How could I forget it?
For those of you who don't remember, are not up on your neurology, this was a situation where people had an accident.
Or some traumatic
event. Thing. And suddenly started speaking with a foreign accent. And it got a name, foreign accent syndrome. Monsieur, I don't know what is wrong. There has been a terrible accident. Well, there you go. I mean, that's it. That's just news for today. I think it's fascinating that people even think of this stuff.
And we know that one of the previously established symptoms of dementia is feeling an urge to call us for advice.
Well, that would make sense.
Loss of
abstract
judgment.
Thinking, bad judgment, and language skills. It all fits together.
So
what's
for
the number?
Those of you feeling the onset of dementia, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Patricia from Eugene, Oregon.
Hi, Patricia.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Not too bad.
We're doing great.
May we call you? No, I don't want to call you Pat. I don't like
no,
Pat.
No, don't call me Pat.
I don't like Pat.
No, I don't like Pat.
Your name
that
is
either.
Patricia, damn it. Your name is Patricia.
You could call me Rucci.
Rucci?
Yeah.
What is Rucci, pray tell?
Well, my last name is Marucci, and they shorten it. My buddies call me Rucci.
Rucci.
Marucci.
Yeah, Marucci.
I'm going to call you Patricia.
Nice Italian girl.
So what's up, Eugene?
Okay, guys, I have a 1968 Rambler American.
Oh!
Mm-hmm.
Man alive.
Yeah, you looking for a husband?
Cause my
because my brother is available.
And I am short a couple of wives.
I've been looking for one all my life.
A 68 American. You know, I was for a few minutes the owner of a 68 American.
Don't you love him?
That was such a piece
my brother
of
knows. my brother knows everything about these cars.
Oh, that is
I
so
do.
You might say he's intimate with them. So, but what's wrong with it?
Well, it's a love-hate relationship, of course.
Yeah.
My mechanics, Bill and Mo, they've completely rebuilt it for me.
What? Larry, Mo, and who?
Bill and Mo.
Bill. Oh.
And they put a new engine in it, new ball bearings. You know, I'm just restoring it. But every time I start it, this puff of black soot comes out of the exhaust. And everywhere I park at my job and at my home and any place that I frequent, there's a pile of black soot where I park. Hmm. I've told them about this, and they think I'm crazy. They just think that I'm nuts.
Well, I mean, why do they think you're nuts? Isn't the tailpipe all black, too?
I don't know.
It probably is.
They just can't figure out why it's doing it.
Well, the reason it's doing it is that you only drive 0.3 miles a day.
You know me, don't you?
A little less than 0.3, maybe.
I never go anywhere.
Yeah.
I go to work.
That's your problem.
Yeah, and you do have an engine that's full of carbon.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you drive, think about it. When the engine is cold, What happens is the car runs on a very rich mixture. Otherwise, it will stall.
Do you have a hand choke in this, or is it an automatic choke?
It's an automatic choke.
Automatic? But, come on. These are modern technology, these cars.
But my windshield wipers only work when I press on the gas pedal.
Yeah, well, that's another story.
So, I mean, the rich mixture that you have never gets a chance to get unrich because you stop by the time it would be ready to warm up and open up that choke.
But I just use regular gas.
Doesn't matter.
Gas is
gas smash.
You have to ask Shemp and Moe there. To
Bill and Curly. They're nice guys.
I'm sure they are. You have to ask them to lean out the choke.
Okay, lean out the choke.
Yeah, the choke is adjustable on this car, and they have to lean it out and make it so that maybe it stalls once or twice and you start it in the morning, but it opens up faster.
And it doesn't close so tightly.
Okay, because they've worked on the carburetor a lot because it was stalling a lot.
They probably closed the choke, that's part of what the problem is.
They did something to it so that now when I'm driving it, I don't have to step on the gas. It just goes.
Right. My guess is, as Tommy's guess is, they adjusted the choke too rich, and that's why you have the black.
And they up the idle.
They up the idle, and they're trying to convince you not to be concerned about it because they know if they put everything back where it's supposed to be, it's going to stall on you, but it's better that it stalls.
Better that it stalls. And once a week, take it out. You got any highways there in Eugene, Patricia?
No, we only have logging roads here. No, we have freeways. There's one from Eugene to Portland, actually.
There you go. Take a nice ride to Portland and buy a coffee and turn around and come back.
No, you don't even have to do that. If you drove it up 10 miles every week at 50 miles an hour, it would be fine.
Okay, great. Also, I was wondering, would you guys happen to know where I could find any leopard print bench seat covers?
Because I got a couple of them. What size? Is this a... let me see if we have those in stock.
Really? I cannot find them anywhere. I can only find them in bucket seats, and I've contacted Ramblers Only, and they don't have any. And
well, you may have to buy, 15 or 20 leopard skin bathing suits.
Sew them together.
See you, Patricia.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For your call.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
68. You know, I decided the other day, you know what I want? I want a 1960 Rambler American convertible.
You had one of those once.
I did. That's the perfect car.
Perfect for what?
It'll run all year. Not like the MG. The MG, you can't drive it 9 months out of the year.
Right.
It's convertible.
Mm-hmm.
Has a roof, windows, heater.
None of which the MG has. 1-888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. Why did you buy the MG? Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jamie from Millbrook, New York.
Hi, Jamie.
Millbrook.
Where's Millbrook?
Millbrook is by Poughkeepsie, east side of the Hudson.
Great. Huh. Where's Poughkeepsie?
Where's New York?
I know where Poughkeepsie is.
Just upstate.
I know where that is. So what can we do for you?
I have the perfect truck. 93 Mazda B2200 pickup.
Really, huh?
Oh, yeah.
You're easy to please.
Wait, you don't have the perfect truck. You have please. The cheapest truck.
Yeah.
So this is my problem. I'm driving home after work on the Taconic, which if you've been on the Taconic, is an up-and-down kind of road.
Mm-hmm.
Going up a hill, and all of a sudden I hear this tremendous bang. And I think, number one, either something has caught fire, or number two, the entire exhaust system is blown off of the truck.
And?
Pull over to the side of the road, and one of the spark plugs has blown out of the engine. Still attached to its cable, but it's completely out of the engine.
Yeah.
Isn't that a shocker?
It scares me.
It's not just
well.
One bang. I mean, you must have heard lots of bangs.
One big bang.
One really big bang,
and then... Bah, 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 bah.
So, the next morning, I called up the mechanic, and he said, bring it in, and I limped in there, and he said...
Isn't it amazing, by the way, how much noise can come out of that little hole?
He actually heard me coming before I got there.
Man, and I mean, everyone, if you wanted a new appreciation for the fact that Midas can sell you a muffler for $15, you should hear the noise, and that's only out of one of those holes.
It's like a Gatling gun.
And for $15, they'll get rid of that for you.
So you announce your arrival several blocks in advance.
Yeah. I did.
And your mechanic does?
He says, you drive a Ford. And I said, no. But it's Mazda has Ford make some of their parts, the engines. And he said, was it the number 3 hole? And I said, no, it was the number 4. And he said, oh, happens all the time.
Yeah.
Get a helicoil, we'll place it, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So he replaces it, right? And then take it out, runs fine. Monday morning, I come back, get out on the Taconic again, go up a hill, and I blew out a different spark plug.
Let me guess. Number three?
Nope, number two.
Well, I would say the odds are getting better and better that number three is going to go soon.
Yeah, I've kind of bracketed it now. So I brought it back into him, and he said, you know, haven't seen it where the second one blew out. And he said, you know, do the same thing, we'll replace it. And I said, how long until I replace all of them? You know, is there something else that's going wrong? And he said, I don't know.
Do you do your own tune-ups?
I replaced the plugs myself.
Mm-hmm.
6,000 miles ago.
That's what I thought.
Yeah?
Yeah. You did it.
Not tight enough?
Not tight enough, Jamie.
Not tight enough.
Hmm.
And yeah. What happens is little by little it starts working its way out, and pretty soon.
What do you do for a living? I'm going to guess.
You're not
in the construction business.
No, he does computer stuff. You're right. You're a gentle, delicate kind of guy.
Not really.
What do you do?
I teach continuing education.
There you go. Teacher. See? The stuff you deal with
paper. You have a gentle touch.
A gentle touch. You deal with paper and once in a while an overhead projector.
And a spitball.
And chalk.
You know, it's not the same as being like working on the oil rigs in Texas.
Right.
I mean,
right. You're not a roustabout.
No.
So I would guess that you just didn't tighten them up enough. I'll tell you, we've worked on these engines since time immemorial, or maybe since 1993 anyway. And I have never seen a spark plug fly out except when the plugs weren't tight enough. And the way he could have verified this was when he replaced number four that blew out. He should have, at the very least, put the wrench on 3, 2, and 1 to make sure that they were all tight enough.
Actually, after the number two, he said, well, I don't know, I can tighten them down. And so he did actually go back and tighten those others down.
Good. That was smart. And had he done that the first time you went in, number two wouldn't have blown out.
Okay.
And I trust that the others are going to be fine from now on.
But okay. Tighten them up.
He did.
Right.
Oh, you did?
No, he did.
Jamie
did.
The mechanic did after the second one blew up.
After the second one. I wasn't paying attention, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, we knew that.
I was reading mail.
You had already dismissed Jamie. We gave him an answer and tossed him off.
Moved on. I
was actually looking at the details of this frontal lobotomy temporal dementia thing.
Yeah, you need that. See you, Jamie.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for calling, Jamie.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Bernadette from Union, New Jersey. How are you doing?
Bernadette.
Bernadette. Do you call yourself Bernadette or do they call you Bernie?
They call me Bernie. They call me B. Whatever.
All right, B.
Yeah, I have a Chevy Cavalier. I've always had Chevys.
How old is this Cavalier?
1991.
Okay.
And
you like it?
I love it. Yeah, it's perfect, except it has some very bizarre problems.
Okay.
Mainly what happens in the winter when it's very, very cold. When I start the car in the morning from a cold start, I have to let it warm up 10 or 15 minutes. Otherwise, it will only go in reverse.
Mm.
And then when I get it warmed up, it will go into drive.
Mm.
I took it to my regular mechanic.
Yeah, and he told you needed a transmission rebuild.
No, actually.
He didn't?
He looked at the fluid. He said, oh, you have transmission fluid in there. It's not the problem. Chevys or old cars.
That's like you go to the doctor, you say, I feel terrible, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he says, well, you got blood in your veins, you must be okay. That was dumb.
He said that old cars have this problem and live with it.
Well, there is a certain wisdom in that.
I want to meet this guy.
Yeah, there is something to be said for that approach.
Well, I mean, how does this guy like make money? I mean, isn't that how he makes his living, by fixing things like this?
Apparently.
Not. Apparently not. Yeah.
And in warmer weather, you don't have this problem.
No, I don't.
And well, you could certainly live with it.
Yes.
But if you felt the need to actually get out and move the car without warming it up, then you'd have to have the transmission rebuilt.
Really?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty obvious.
All of a sudden, you're not so in love with the car anymore, huh?
No.
Well, the thing is, I mean, there's something to be said for living with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, we have become a nation of crybabies. We know that. And everyone thinks everything should be perfect all the time. And stuff just isn't perfect.
Well, the other day, I was contemplating the 8-track tape player.
Were you?
And that really gave one an appreciation for music. Because you never knew, when you were listening to a song, if it was the last time you were going to hear it.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Because the next time it could get gobbled, and that would be the end.
Well, they had
of
a failure,
all eight tracks.
They had a failure rate of about 50%. I mean, you could count on your every month your music library being diminished by 50%.
Yeah,
and that was okay, I think, because we became accustomed to things not working.
Yeah, your mechanic is right. Old cars do this,
and spring is right around the corner.
This is true.
Exactly. And you do need a transmission rebuild, which will cost you more money than the car is worth, but that's not a reason for not doing it. So if you want to.
And you're
do
not
it,
hurting anything else by what you're doing.
Okay.
So you can continue to drive it the way you are, and it's not going to make the rebuild necessarily any more expensive.
No.
When it becomes absolutely necessary. When reverse stops working, you're going to be in.
Oh, then I'll be really in
deep trouble. That's the next thing to happen. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Okay.
All right, look. It's time for us to take a short break. And when we come back, I'll have the answer to last week's puzzler.
Ah, last week's puzzler,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, you say that as if you suddenly remembered it, which I know you didn't.
No, but I suddenly remembered that there was a puzzler last week.
Well, that makes more sense. And look, I'm going to help you out. Last week's puzzler was from my What's Next in the Series.
All right, the numbers.
Yes, indeed, and we'll be back with the answer and more of your car questions in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
They love to travel. We build them roads. We tear down landmarks to put up their abodes. And when they're thirsty, we take them to their bars. 'Cause nothing's too good for our cars.
We wash and wax them and treat them great. A yearly checkup for every beat-up crate. The health care they get, it sure beats ours. 'Cause nothing's too good for our cars. The cars have won, they call the shots.
In dark garages, they hatch their plots to make us pave ourselves,
make us enslave ourselves. The cars have won, the cars have won, the cars have won.
And even though hibernating bears wake up and swat at their radios whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
A series of numbers.
Exactly, and here it is. And this is very brief, actually. I didn't want to elaborate, you know, didn't want to make it a big, long, involved puzzler, so I thought I'd do something short, sweet. You know, you ready?
It's too late now.
This was sent in by a fellow named Mark Rudo. I'm going to give you a list of numbers, he said, and I'm going to ask you to figure out from that list what the next number is in the series. So are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, here are the numbers. You might want to write them down.
I'm going to write it down.
4.
Yeah.
6. 12. 18. 30. 42. 60. And then what?
Sounds like estimates for my IQ.
yeah, but they're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, they are. All right.
Now, I did give a couple of hints. I pointed out that all the numbers are even numbers, right? You may notice,
well, that
right?
Doesn't help me at all.
Well, my second hint was that I gave you the number after the number I'm looking for. So you have 4, 6, 12, 18, 30, 42, 60, blank. Mm-hmm. And the next number after the blank is 102. Now, you'll notice that all the numbers are even numbers.
Yeah.
Now, usually when you have a puzzle like this, a series, there's an operation involved. You add 2, multiply by 3, subtract 4, your grandmother's age divided by 6, and you get the next number.
Yeah.
But this isn't one of those puzzles. There's no operator involved.
Yeah.
And the hint I gave, of course, was that they're all even numbers, which means they're flanked or surrounded by odd numbers. So, for example, the number 42 has an odd number on either side of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Number 60 has an odd number on either side of it.
Got it.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. The blank number is probably going to have an odd number on either side of it.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And these numbers aren't just odd. They are kind of extra odd.
Extra odd.
Yeah, they're extra odd because they are prime numbers. So the number 42 is flanked by 41 and 43, which are both prime.
Uh-huh.
The number 60 is flanked by 59 and 61, both of which are prime. The number we're looking for, the blank, is flanked by two prime numbers, and it happens to be 72. And it's flanked by 71 and 73, as is 102, which I gave as the bonus number, which is flanked by 101 and 103. Pretty cute, eh?
Uh-huh.
Do we have a winner?
Yes, we do. Our winner this week is Joe Belmont from Franklin, Wisconsin.
You lucky devil, Joe.
For having his answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, Joe's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, with which he can get a brand new Don't Drive Like My Brother t-shirt.
Or a Don't Drive Like My Brother coffee mug.
Sure.
Yeah. Or he can get the t-shirt and the coffee mug and then spill coffee on the t-shirt. Then he can buy our Don't Drive Like My Brother stain remover kit.
And don't forget the washer and dryer.
Well, congratulations, Joe. And if you're not Joe, don't worry. We have a new puzzle still to come today, so stay tuned for that. Right now, we're going to screw up some more of your car questions, so give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lisa. I'm calling from Greenfield, Mass.
Hi, Lisa.
I have a 1998 Pontiac Grand Prix that my dad gave to me because he didn't want to drive anymore. I didn't really want the car, but I took it because, you know, we really wanted him off the road. So I thought that I would sell it, and, you know, he'd forget about it, and I'd sell it, but he never forgot about it. He always asked me, how's the car? I'd say, it's great, Dad, thank you. So anyway, I have this car that I hate, but I have a problem with the windshield wipers.
Yeah.
When I have them set to intermittent, they pause right smack in the middle of the windshield.
That's a clear case of... Yeah.
So they stop in the middle of the windshield, but what otherwise, if you put them on to regular wipe, in other words, the low speed, they'll go all the way from one extreme to the other.
They do.
And then when you shut them off, they will park correctly?
Correct.
Well, I'm not so sure that this car doesn't have some kind of a controller for intermittent wipe. And so I don't know what the – there's no ready answer for it. In other words, there's not something that I can say, okay, have them do this. Because I don't know exactly how this thing works. The problem could be in the motor itself, or it could be in the controller.
Well, I asked my mechanic, and he said I'd need a whole new motor, but I'm thinking it just needs to be adjusted.
No, there's no adjustment.
Nah, it's not adjustment.
There's no...
Even though it would be nice, it's not going to work. But, I mean, the worst that happens is just turn the windshield wiper on all the way, and it'll go back to where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, but you want to be able to use it in intermittent and not have it obstruct your vision.
Right.
See, you're getting advice here. Let me tell you, Lisa.
you're getting advice from a person who doesn't want to fix anything.
No, but moreover, you're getting advice from a guy whose car windshield wipers don't work. His don't work at all.
Wait a minute. I bought a new motor.
Did you install it?
No.
I'll ask the question then. Do your windshield wipers on your car work?
No.
Okay. The defense rests. I think you've got to fix it. I mean, it's possible. I mean, like I said, on the 98 Grand Prix, I don't know how the thing is set up. I mean, every car is different now. In the old days, it used to be simpler. But you could certainly, if he thinks the motor is going to fix it, have him put one in. It's easy to do. And if it doesn't fix it, he'll take it out.
Sure.
Okay.
See,
but it could also be in the switch. The problem could be in the switch that's on the stock, you know, that multifunction switch.
Uh-huh.
It could be there too, but the motor is easier to change. So have him do it.
I'll tell him that's what you said.
Tell him that.
Good
exactly
luck,
that.
Lisa.
See ya.
Okay, thanks very much.
Bye.
Bye.
That's the sort of thing that would you fix it?
In a heartbeat. That would drive me nuts.
No, but it's so easy to overcome.
But you folks, let me explain let me attempt to explain my brother. Tommy drives 2.7 miles a month. If his wipers don't work, it hardly matters. You'd be thrilled to have intermittent wipers. You'd be thrilled to have any kind of wipers. You have intermittent now. They worked a year ago, right? So they've had a year off.
They should work.
They're really intermittent. So you are speaking from the perspective of someone who has no wipers, and you are in no position, my dear brother, to give advice to anyone about what they should or should not be willing to tolerate.
But, I mean, some things are just not worth fixing.
This is. Trust us. Oh, God.
Well. You know what it is? I'm a cheapskate.
Oh,
and if I can live with the way it is, I'll do.
Is there any language in the contract that stipulates that I have to have him as the co-host? I mean, can we get somebody else? No?
You know, I was asking
Take anybody.
I was asking him the same question this morning.
Jeez. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Fellas, this is Jody calling from the beautiful Turtle Mountains at Bottineau, North Dakota.
North Dakota.
Joe?
Yes. Just Jody.
Oh, Jody.
Yeah, J-O-D-D-Y. And if you can find that spelled like that anywhere else, I'd like to know about it.
J-O-D-D-Y.
Yeah, I don't know what my parents were thinking.
What were they thinking?
I think somebody stuttered. I don't know. It made it a little more manly, I suppose.
I guess.
Well, we have an electrician named Joe D.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I've thought of that. Maybe, you know, someday when I become rich and famous that I could, you know, make it written that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, that's all right.
So what's up, Joe D.? Joe D.
Well, first of all, I should learn that never means never and not to say it, because about a year ago, I went and bought a 93 Grand Caravan, and I always swore I'd never buy a Chrysler product. my problem is, in July, I started overheating, and it was just kind of out of the blue. I know it was a hot day, but I knew that there really wasn't anything technically wrong, because I had just checked my machine before I left town, and everything was fine, and didn't really think much of it, just figured it was temperature.
Yeah.
I finally figured it out, although it was several months later, it kind of overheated again. It was a very cold day, and I decided I better check this out once, and pop the hood, and here the cooling fan is laying in the bottom of the radiator, and the nut's missing.
Ah.
So I pulled it all out and started calling around, looking for used parts, looking for new parts. Well, I find out that there is nothing available. And as far as new parts go, Chrysler wants you to buy the whole module, the shroud, the motor, the fan, and everything. And it's $300, and I just don't want to spend it, stubborn guy that I am.
Sure. And all that's missing at this point, you have all the pieces. The blade has fallen off because the nut came loose.
Right, exactly.
Got it.
And all I need is the nut. Well, it turns out it's a fine thread, left-handed kind of a thing, and it's just impossible to find in and of itself. And I used to work at the local Chrysler dealership, and one of my buddies there, he did some research, and he called another dealership, and they called Tech at Chrysler. I guess this went all the way to the top.
Wait.
Supposedly, it's just not available.
My brother is having, something's happening here. He's got something.
He couldn't leave a window open so you could sneak in and steal a nut? I mean, they'd never know. Just take the nut off one of those.
Yeah, what about the ones they leave outside?
Sure. You leave a window open, all you have to do is leave it open a crack, and before the Rottweiler's got to you, you can have that nut and be out and on your way.
All right,
so that didn't work.
If there was one around, but there just aren't any available unless you buy a new one from the factory.
Jody, don't you have any junkyards there in North Dakota?
You know, I've called almost everyone in the state, and they've done their little locator thing and a couple of times. And there aren't even any used ones out there, I guess.
Those Grand Caravans, they never die anyway. That's why there are none of them in the junkyard.
But your motor works. All you need is a nut.
That's right. That's all I need is a nut. I don't know.
Buy a nut.
You can buy it from the same place that they buy it from. There are companies
where
that
I've
make
tried,
nuts.
I've looked on the net. I've tried to find, you know, Chrysler producers, you know,
oh, forget them.
Producers or whatever.
Go to the net and go to Thomas Register.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And then look
and
up nuts.
Look
and
up
my
nuts.
Brother's the first entry.
And you just type in nuts, and you'll get Brazil, Hazel,
pecans.
And you'll find the names of all the companies that make nuts and bolts.
Better than that, if you have, where do you live, North Dakota?
Yeah.
That's the trouble. Jeez.
Well, I didn't say anything.
Don't take it easy. Calm down.
if you had a machine shop nearby, uh-huh. A machine shop could actually, with a little gauge, measure the pitch of that thread, okay? And they can actually, with a tap,
mm-hmm.
make you a nut.
Yeah.
They would take a nut, they would drill out the middle of a nut, the existing threads,
uh-huh.
and they would cut with a tap the new threads in this little nut. I mean, it only cost you like $300 or $400 because it is it actually would be for someone that had left-handed taps, and a good machine shop certainly would. They can make you this nut.
Yeah.
Personally, I would glue the thing on with JB Weld.
I've thought of that. I have thought of that. But
there
then
you
I
go.
Figured if I do find a nut later on and this JB Weld doesn't hold, then I've wrecked the whole thing.
You won't need if the JB Weld. If it doesn't hold, it'll just fall off.
Right.
Yeah, you will not.
If
this
it does
is not
hold,
a one-time deal.
If it does hold, you won't need the nut.
Right.
Gee, this is interesting. For want of a nail? Wow.
You know, and actually, when I was in the hardware store recently, I did look for some J.B. Weld, and I almost considered buying it.
Oh, good. J.B. Weld is one of the miracle products. It's right up there with the vice grip.
Yeah.
And duct tape.
And duct tape.
Oh, better than duct tape.
Yeah.
But I would, if you can't get a machine shop to make you a nut, and you should be able to, J.B. Weld that sucker on there.
Okay.
Well, good luck, Jody.
Yep, thanks for
your help. Hope you find your nut.
Okay.
See you later.
Yep,
bye. Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Cheryl from Dallas, Texas.
Hi,
Cheryl, with an S or a C?
With a C.
C-H-E-R-Y-L?
Yes.
Cool. From Dallas.
Well, not originally from Dallas. Actually, I'm from Massachusetts.
How long have you been there?
3 years.
How much of a culture shock was it for you?
We're in the Deep South. It was pretty much of a culture shock.
Yeah.
Yes. It's very, very different.
My son visits Texas occasionally because his girlfriend Caroline lives there.
Oh.
And when he first went to Texas, I mean, everyone in the town came out to see the Italian. Hey, come on over, boys. We got an Italian here.
So what's cooking?
Well, I have a 95 Odyssey minivan, and what happens sometimes is I go to start my van, and it's in the locked position. It has this safety where you could, you know, turn the wheel all the way to the left, and then you have to depress the brake pedal and then turn the ignition on. But what's happened recently is there's nothing I can do, and I can't get it out of the locked position. Not so long ago, I mean, I was stuck in a big parking lot in Dallas, and there was nothing I could do to get it out of this position. I had to be towed over to the dealer. And, of course, by the time we got it to the dealer's, you know, we pull it in, and it starts right up. So, of course, the dealer says, you know, lady, you're crazy. But it started doing it. It does it, like, you know, twice a month. So I'm wondering what's happening to my steering wheel column.
Well, you could simply have a worn-out key or a lock.
Oh, I did have new keys made.
Yeah, well, you could have a key that doesn't really work.
Okay. Where's
the original key?
I have the original key, and that's a bit worn.
When you had the new keys made, that was after the problem occurred.
Yes.
And someone suggested that it was the key,
yes.
So you got a new key made.
And you had the keys made at the Honda dealer because no one else makes them.
No.
Is that true?
No, I had to have them made next door because the Honda dealer, he said their machine was broken.
Oh.
What next door? You have a neighbor who makes keys?
No. A key shop. You know, they give me an address of a key shop, and they give me the code, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, chances are that the key then is okay.
Yeah, let's dismiss the key.
Assuming that the key shop is competent and they had the code, then the key should be exactly the same as the original.
Okay.
So I'm going to dismiss the key as a possibility and focus on the lock.
Okay.
So if the lock is worn out, then whether or not you have a new key or an old key or a good key or a bad key, it's probably not going to work.
So this is that safety locking mechanism, is it on the steering wheel column?
Well, no, the thing that prevents
you... The ignition lock.
The thing into which you put the key...
Okay, the ignition lock. Okay.
...is called the lock.
All right, okay.
And I think that's worn out. I think you need a new one of them. Now, you can try spraying various things in there, like salad dressing.
Yeah. Olive oil.
Honey
okay.
is good. Olive oil works
okay,
on everything.
Okay.
No, you can try graphite, for example.
Yeah, oil is not good in locks, but graphite is.
All right.
And I'll bet you if you squirt it, you can buy graphite in a little tube and
all right.
a powder. And if you squirt it a little bit in there, I bet it would work okay for a while. But
okay.
why bother? Just have the lock replaced.
Well,
okay.
I would try the graphite because that may solve the problem.
Completely? Forever? You think?
Well, you have to carry the graphite on your belt.
Well,
in case you need it. So if you don't mind being stuck twice a month, it could add excitement to your life.
Yeah, you could meet a lot of interesting tow truck drivers, or is that an oxymoron?
Yeah, all tow truck drivers are interesting.
Yeah, sure, so you
never know. So if that's what you're looking for, then leave it the way it is. Otherwise, replace the lock.
Okay.
See you,
well,
Cheryl.
I appreciate that very much.
All righty.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, look, after that, we need to take a short break. And while we're gone, my brother and I have to discuss a TV offer I received this week.
TV? Really? That would mean more money, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Bigger offices.
Absolutely.
Smarter staff?
Well, duh.
What's the downside?
Well, I think we'd actually lose money in the end.
Lose it?
Well, they want us to pay for the makeup.
All right, we'll stick with NPR then.
We'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
I'm on a drive in the morning, drive all through the day. down the sunset, chase it till the sky turns gray. 'Cause when I drive, I'm free, ain't nothing gonna take that away. Gonna drive up to Boston, Montreal, Ottawa, Thunder Bay. Cross the Badlands to Spokane, then Seattle on down to L.A.
And even those sausage makers shudder at the thought of how our show gets made whenever they hear us say it. This is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. And the inspiration for this puzzle was...
Go, baby! I'm on your side!
Yeah, for about a minute. Was sent in by Charlie Strauss from...
Charlie, thanks, Charlie.
Who knows where. Okay. The seven employees of the Coney Island Crab Cake Company are sitting in the lunchroom having lunch. You know, they're sitting around the table. You with me?
I'm with you.
You already got that ball.
No, I can see right away that you're unclarifying something. And my job is to figure out what it was before it started out with the crab cakes.
I'm just trying to make it a little more interesting. Anyway, the seven employees are sitting around the table and they're discussing the usual things, you know, the miserable state of the economy and what have you. And they decide that they would like to know what the average salary of the employees at the Coney Island Crab Cake Company is.
Oh.
Now, obviously, they could each write down their salary. They could add them up and divide by seven, and they'd know the salary. But they don't want to do that because nobody wants to...
They don't want to divulge
nobody
their
wants
salaries.
To divulge, nor does anyone want to know the salaries of their fellow workers. So as luck would have it, the boss, the owner, happens to come in. And they say, hey, can you tell us the average salary here? And he says, well, no. He said, I can tell you what the highest salary is and what the lowest is. And I can tell you also that none of you have earned the same amount. Everyone's salary is different. But I can't tell you what the average salary is. You'll have to figure that out for yourselves.
Mm.
And he leaves. And the question is there an easy way for these seven people sitting around in the lunchroom to figure out what the average salary is without divulging anyone's salary? Or even finding out what the high and low salaries are.
Oh, without even knowing that.
Without even knowing that.
So even though he said, I can give you the high and the low, they said, we don't need it.
We don't need it.
We didn't even need you to walk in the door.
Bingo!
Okay.
Is there a way that they can find this out so that nobody knows nothing except what the average salary is?
I got the answer.
Well, I should hope so.
The answer is no.
Okay. That's one answer. But if you think you know a better answer, write it on a postcard. Or better still, hide it under the seat cushion of a Skyhawk swivel glider all-leather Barca lounger with concealed armrest humidor, 36-ounce beverage holder, side-mounted remote control caddy, and hardwired kitchen buzzer. And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, please give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-827-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Helen, and I'm calling from Victoria, British Columbia.
Hi,
no
Helen.
No kidding.
Hi.
Wow, this is an honor for us.
Well, it's...
Because that's like in Canada.
That's right. Yeah,
and we got a lot of email from Canada recently because we mentioned on the air, one of us, I can't remember who it was, that someone said he was studying history in Canada. And we said, what is it, a one-page book?
Oh.
So we got a lot of very nice mail.
I'm sure you did. Yeah.
It wasn't I.
Explaining to us the historical
significance of Canada and the fact that they have the bomb. Yes, they do.
So what's up, Helen?
Well, I have a 79 Volvo wagon.
Wow.
It's got just over 300,000 kilometers on it.
Kilometers?
Yes.
Well, that's
don't like,
that's,
about that. Is
that's 200,000 miles.
Yeah, 200,000 miles. That's good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and it started just before Christmas. I got a new battery, only to discover it hadn't been the battery. It was the alternator that was wrong, which was replaced by my boyfriend with what I think should be considered very little smoke, considering. But very little.
Very.
And I was assured no serious damage was done.
Oh.
But now what is happening is when I drive along, everything's fine until about the third stoplight. And when I change down into second and slow down, the oil light comes on. It stays on while I'm sitting at the light. And then as I pull away, it goes off again. That doesn't sound good.
Well, two things. One, it has nothing to do with what your boyfriend did.
Oh, good. Good.
Well, that's not good.
Well, it may have nothing to do with what he did, but it's pretty predictable in that when you're moving along, it is out for the most part.
Well, no, what happens is gradually it stays on longer at each light.
Yeah.
Until finally it just stays on.
Even when you're in motion.
That's right. But then eventually, after about, I don't know, half an hour, it will go out altogether.
Huh? Oh, really? That's good.
Oh.
Well,
and I've hit the dash and checked the oil.
That could be good. I mean, the oil light coming on is either almost nothing or everything.
Well, what I think when you say there was very little smoke,
yeah.
When he replaced the alternator,
yeah,
the alternator is on the same side of the engine
right.
as the oil pressure switch and its wiring.
Right.
And those wires, I believe, run in a little harness, which is basically a plastic little tube, and they run underneath the crankshaft to the other side of the engine where they enter through the firewall and do whatever they do.
Okay.
And it's possible that even disturbing these wires, he has caused a short circuit.
Ah.
That maybe he has the wire that connects to the oil switch, if it gets grounded, it will make the light come on. In fact, that's the classic test to see if the wiring in the bulb are okay. You pull the wire off the oil pressure switch, you ground the end of that wire,
right?
And you look at the dashboard. If the light is lit, then you know that the wire and the bulb and the rest of the circuitry is intact.
Okay.
There is a distinct possibility that he plugged a wire on the wrong place. Because if I'm not mistaken, I think there is a connector on the back of that alternator that looks just like
the oil pressure sending unit connector.
I don't mean to point the finger or anything, but it's possible that he's done that.
No, I wouldn't want to either. No.
and you might be that might be all right if that were the case, but you might need to have a professional look at it because someone might your boyfriend might not know that he did it wrong.
Right.
And I wouldn't go just moving the wires around.
No.
For the sake of experimentation.
No.
Yeah, that could be troublesome.
Yeah, you might need to sneak it to a shop to have someone take a quick peek at it.
Just a peek, without telling anybody.
Without telling anyone. And at the very least, if they can't find anything else, ask them to change the oil pressure switch.
Okay.
It's relatively inexpensive and easy to change.
Good.
In fact, your boyfriend could do it.
No.
Good.
No. Who knows? He may put the wires back the right way this time.
You never know. He might.
And he doesn't charge me $70 an hour labor.
Right.
But I think that you have a broken wire.
Okay.
That's my gut feeling, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
See, Alan.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Steve from Cape Cod.
Steve.
Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm from Cape Cod. I'm in California right now.
So did you move to California from Cape Cod?
I keep a residence in Cape Cod, and I'm out here for a couple months, just in Lake Tahoe.
Really?
So that's the other...
ski, I assume.
Yeah, well, I'm snowboarding. And I'm working, too. I have a small business on the Cape.
Yeah, right.
And I have a computer with me, so I do some work, and I do some other stuff,
so
too.
You're so sort of a snow bum, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Very good.
I'm proud of it. I'm not ashamed in the slightest bit.
Well, I don't think you should be.
Well, okay.
Everybody else is running around trying to work an extra 20 hours a day, and you're happy to be a bum.
I make just enough money to keep myself out of trouble.
God bless you.
But if I make any more money, then I get into more trouble, and then I just got
to
work.
You're absolutely right, and I want to thank you for calling. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to a man of such perspicacity.
And I'll see you later. Oh, wait. I have a problem.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. We were driving across country and going across the plain states. You get big time winds coming across, diagonally across the highway.
Oklahoma. Oh, that's it.
The problem really manifested itself in, I think it was Nebraska, where you get really, really high winds coming diagonally across the highway. We're driving an 88, my girlfriend's 88 Pathfinder.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if you know the makeup of the outside of a Pathfinder, but the doors have some sort of a aerodynamic deal where they come up towards the roof as opposed to, your average proven car design with gutters.
This one
has no gutters.
Gutterless.
Right.
Yes.
So what happens is on the leeward side of the car, so if the wind is blowing from the passenger side of the highway across, the driver's side door, the top of the door actually gets opened by the wind.
Does it?
To the point where snow and wind comes in the car, which can be kind of tedious.
Oh, cool.
When you're driving, 18, 20 hours a day.
Probably a Venturi effect.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Physics.
Am I glad I took that course?
Isn't the Venturi effect when you squeeze wind down into down into a smaller space?
It's the vacuum which is created by the flow of a fluid.
Wow.
Air being the fluid in this case.
Yeah.
So the air is flowing over that driver's door,
it's sucking the door open.
It's creating a vacuum.
Right. Okay. Well, that I understand.
Yeah.
The question is, how do I keep that from happening?
Tie a rope from one door to the other.
Across the roof.
Right inside the vehicle.
Across the roof and then inside the vehicle, and you're going to knot it like right over your head.
Right. So what I'd need to do then is notch the glass so that the glass came up around the rope. Perhaps use a nylon strap. Believe me, driving across country, you have plenty of time to sit here and think about all these things.
All those big states.
Trying to explain it to, say, a mechanic at a Nissan dealership, trying to replicate the problem is...
Well, you're not going to replicate it because you need a wind tunnel. However, there may be a solution short of the rope.
Okay, and don't tell me to duct tape it because...
No, I'm not going to tell you to duct tape it, but the doors can be adjusted,
Yeah, okay. The door may not be adjusted properly.
That's a possibility, but...
Because I don't think they want this to happen.
No, I mean you can take it to a body shop and explain your problem, and they can adjust the door hinges, or if they're not adjustable, and some cars they're not, they can actually bend the door.
Hmm.
They will bend the frame.
And I'd have to pay someone to come and bend the door frame.
Alternatively, you could try it yourself.
I could.
You could.
What
you do is you open the door all the way.
Oh, yep. No.
You jump. You put the window down.
Oh.
You jump up and rest your feet on the sill. You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
Okay, where you would rest your arm if you were driving.
And you're facing outward.
And you grab.
The good news
is you don't have to be in motion when you do this. You're
going
to grab on the frame, and you're going to go, and you're going to pull that frame for the window close to your chest.
Yeah, and think about how much snow's going to get in the vehicle.
From the bottom.
No, when there's no door there.
Oh, when you break the,
break the door off.
I would take it to a body shop because it there's an art to this.
Oh, yes.
And I had a similar, although not as dramatic a problem, with my wife's Dodge Caravan, that at high speed, you would get the whistling effect, the wind noise.
Right.
And the body shop next to us was kind enough to bend those doors.
No kidding.
And they made it worse, actually. No, and made it almost go away.
Right. Now, the problem is, presuming I did this at the body shop, I'd have to pay these guys.
And you wouldn't know that they fixed it for 6 months.
I wouldn't know.
Oh, never. You'd never know.
Until I hit the middle of the country where there's 80-mile-an-hour crossways.
That's why, Steve, you have to do it yourself. I mean, you might want to pay them to do it and watch what they do. So whatever you pay them will be a lesson so that you will know when you're out there in Nebraska, you will know how to do it yourself.
Right. And then when I'm watching what they do and realizing how much I'm paying them, I'll be smacking myself in the head saying, I could have done that myself.
But you'll now know how to do it, and you'll be the expert, and you can flag down other cars on the middle of Nebraska and offer this service to them for a nominal fee. You might be able to pay for your gas.
It's making sense to me now. What I can do is I can make up flyers.
There you go.
I bend doors.
In high crosswind areas at truck stops saying, do you have this problem?
That wind noise driving you crazy? Snow coming in, getting your pants wet?
Amazing fix.
Amazing fix. Yeah.
It's magic, and I can't show you how I do it. I have to take it around the back.
The snow's getting to you, Steve.
Well, yeah, it is. It's piling up outside the windows. I don't even know when morning.
Try to
anymore.
Get a job, Steve.
No.
You got way too much time. too much free time.
I think you guys have a little too much free time.
Yeah, you're right.
We do.
You guys need jobs, too, I think.
Yeah, we do.
Well, maybe we can have a little support.
Well, you get one, we'll get one.
All right, well, there's a deal.
It's
then.
A deal.
See right. you, Steve.
Thanks for calling.
All right, thank you.
I got a little business in Cape Cod, but I'm here in Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, he's selling sunglasses in Cape Cod in the summer.
And sunglasses.
And snowboarding lessons. Oh, sunglasses at Lake Tahoe.
Same sunglasses at Lake
Tahoe. The ones he couldn't sell in the Cape, he brings them too.
Right.
Sounds like a
He's out here for a couple of months.
Does he need a partner? Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenalosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Kara McKnight. And our technical spiritual and menu advisor, just back from the Hop Hog, Mulled Grog, Corn Dog, Cohog, Eggnog, Chocolate Log, and Filleted Frog Supper Slog, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our investment management company is Poor Lee Endowed. Our beatnik philosopher is Harry Reasoner. Our tour leader is Terry Incognito. Our chief negotiator is Nicole Ann Dime. Our PowerPoint producer is Boris Tadef. Our Sleepy LaBeef ticket procurer is Caldwell Ahead. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CF Eye Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Chittum & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the shivering comparative religion professors in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
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 We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1204, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, we talked to our old pal Bob Lutz.
Oh, yeah. Isn't he the guy who wanted to sue us for defamation when he worked for Chrysler?
Yeah, same guy.
Well, he's actually a very interesting character because for decades, he was like a muscle car, you know, big engine guy. It was all about power and style. But now he's become a very big supporter of electric cars.
What happened?
Well, obviously, somebody paid him off. he won't sue us for that, will he?
Nah.
No, just kidding. We're just kidding, Bob. Check out Car Talk's interview with Bob Lutz right now over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though mayors in at least two villages look up and say, "Are we missing our idiot?" whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.